The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So, today, as we know, we celebrate the birth, life, teaching, enlightenment, even the death, actually, of Shakyamuni Buddha, who was a human being like us, but rather more remarkable than... Oh, maybe not more remarkable than some of us. He was certainly remarkable, and we have this great gratitude because he left us the Dharma, which really, really, really helps us in our lives today. And this whole, festival we just had is a huge expression of gratitude for everything that we have, and in particular, the Buddha Dharma, which makes a huge difference to our lives. We have flowers that kind of represent the Buddha's birth in Lumbini Garden. Tradition has it that it was a beautiful flowery garden, all the flowers blooming. Who knows, it might have been cold and raining, you don't know. But 2,500 years later, it's just lovely to sort of think of it as having been a beautiful place. And we have these lovely lotus lanterns made by Venerable Sun Moon, our Korean visiting monk. And in Korea, lanterns, they go mad about lanterns. They just have these beautiful lantern festivals and processions. And she's made these lovely, like in the corners, is there? Lotus lanterns. They're all around the stupa and this in various places. We'll give some away. We will run out, but we'll give away the ones to the first who come will get a lotus. But the nice thing about these lotus lanterns is they represent, the lotus represents training, because it grows in the roots of the mud of suffering, and just daily life as a human that is not easy, as we know, and then rising through the water of training and flowering in the light. And as lanterns, of course, they shed light, because the Dharma lightens our lives. And it's the practice of the Dharma that brings that light. We have to do the work. It's not just, oh, here we are, lovely, lovely. We have to do the work. And that is what actually brings the light, is the work that we do on ourselves, the work of transforming that suffering, using that mud to nourish our training. Some of us are really new to Buddhism. Some of us have been training for a long time. And some of us know, some of the symbology, and some of us don't. But I like to come back to it, because for any of us, it's really helpful to be reminded of these basic things of our practice. Things like the lotus as the symbol of training, because its roots are in the mud. The mud is not something to be despised. The suffering of our lives is not something to be rejected. It's something that we use because it's what helps us. It's what brings us, quite often, to training. All of us have suffering. Here we have this beautiful, joyful day. And we still have suffering. Some of us may be feeling awful, And that's just fine. It's just that there's always light and darkness. It's not just all joy, and it's not just all misery. We go from one to the other, and that's a really beautiful aspect of our lives as human beings. We're not demons and we're not gods. We're something in between things being really hard and things being peaceful and joyful. Usually it's just ordinary daily life, oatmeal. And every now and then we have a really difficult time, and every now and then we have a joyful time. We have all of it, just like weather. You know, you wouldn't want to have rain all the time or sun all the time. It's nice to have a bit of everything. So the mud of our training, the suffering that we have experienced, or that we may experience now in our lives. Some of us may be haunted by things that have happened in the past, things we've done, ways we've lived, great regret over mistakes we've made in the past, or things that have happened to us, things that people have done to us, or just circumstances that have been really hard, that have been just difficult, whether long past or recent. Some of us are worried. You know, have things happening in our lives that we're really worried about now. Some of us have habitual tendencies like constant fear or a terrible problem with anger or despair or envy or whatever it might be. All of us have something. All of us have more than something, but probably a number of things. And all of these things can help us. They're not just negative. They can help us. And as we keep on faithfully doing our work, doing our daily meditation practice, doing our best to keep to the precepts, we transform those things. The light brightens and our lives brighten. And we look back and realize we have changed. Things are different. The suffering I have, I may still have a problem with anger or despair or fear, or I still have things come up from the past. But it's not so overwhelming as it used to be. You know, we can look and with a bit more perspective, and it's not so bad, it's all right. We can work with it, accept it. That's the thing, it's the acceptance. And we can be grateful for this mud, this suffering that we have experienced or that we may be experiencing now. We can actually have gratitude because there are aspects of things that are helpful, even in the midst of difficulty. We've all poured water over the baby Buddha. It's one of the things that we do throughout the Buddhist world. At Vaisak, we have the baby Buddha and we ladle water over him. And this represents the water that was said to bathe the Buddha at the time of his birth. It is the expression of our gratitude. We're really grateful that the Buddha appeared in the world as a human being, and we pour water out of gratitude. And we're also pouring the water of compassion over ourselves to wash away some of that mud, as it were. It's useful, it's helpful, and we don't want to cling to it. Washing away some of those things that have happened in the past, things we've done in the past, our mistakes, pouring that water of compassion over ourselves and over other beings, beings who may be in difficulty or beings that we may have trouble with. We're pouring this water of compassion over all beings. In the offertory that Reverend Master Ando sang at the end today, it says, at this very moment, the rain of the Dharma pours into the lake of kindness. That's so beautiful. The rain of the Dharma, it pours into the lake of kindness. And as we pour water over the baby Buddha, we help that. We help that water to pour into the lake of kindness, that water of compassion. And we come up and we do this to express our willingness to allow compassion to arise and to pour over ourselves and all beings. We are part of the process. Water of compassion. Water is a wonderful expression of compassion because it just flows everywhere it can. It doesn't discriminate, it doesn't judge, it doesn't say, I don't like this, but I do like that. But things will accept it or not accept it. Some things are permeable, some things soak it right up, some things are waterproof. And we want to be permeable. You want to get thoroughly soaked with that water of compassion. We don't want to be waterproof. But it's up to us to let it permeate us. It's up to us to let it soak through by not clinging on to that little shell of suffering or keeping out that compassion. Some of us may feel that it isn't for me. You know, Buddhism is for everybody else, but it's not for me. Everybody else is good enough, but I'm not. I'm not worthy, or I have this awful thing. If they only knew how awful I really am, you know. All these good people, but I'm not really very good. We all may feel that way sometimes, but in fact, we are all completely permeable. We are made of water for a start. And we just have to allow that water to flow through, to soak right through us, soak right into us, to accept it, accept that compassion, to pour it over the baby Buddha, to pour it over ourselves and over all beings. It is for everybody. It is for us. It's for all beings, all things at all times and in all places. Nothing left out, nothing excluded. To soak us through and through. And as we pour this water, we invite it to wash away all those past hurts, our past mistakes, our past judgments of ourselves and others, our resentments, you know, our present mistakes, our habits of mind that keep coming up. I still have this problem with anger, you know. Just keep washing it. Just keep washing it, whatever it might be. All the things that create suffering for ourselves and others, just keep bathing them. The water doesn't judge. It just pours over everything. Avalokiteshvara, with her pouring water of compassion, she doesn't just keep it for some people. She's not keeping it just for the good people. It's for us. It's for everybody and everything. All the situations of our lives, all the little hidden recesses of our minds, it can all be permeated with this water. It will find its way into the cracks if you give it half a chance. Our difficult relationships, the people we can't get along with very well, the people we really don't like, the situations that we greatly fear or avoid, big things and little things, everything can be washed. You know, our worries, everything can be washed. This pouring water, of course, is really, we pour the water to represent, as I said, our willingness to let it permeate, to allow that compassion to pour over everything. And the real pouring of water is our meditation practice, that we sit still and let that compassion flow through us. Because as we sit still, we allow that compassion to arise. We allow ourselves to see the things that we would rather not look at, or the things in the past, or the things that are just constantly in our mind and we can't help looking at them because they're there as a constant presence. Whatever it may be, as I said, big things and little things, things that we are constantly aware of, things that are just in the background, but to sit still with all of it and let it all arise and let it all be washed with that compassion. Just let it pour through everything. Kindly and faithfully doing our practice. Pouring the water over the baby Buddha that we all do today together. We all do it together, and there's something about that that's really beautiful. And that is expresses our willingness to allow that water to flow and to be part of it. Let it seep into all those little cracks. Pouring over everything, the loved and the unloved, the seen and the unseen, recognized and the unrecognized. Letting everything be washed. Accepting everything as fully as we can. Letting that water flow over everything. Letting it all come up and be seen, and then depart when it's ready to depart. Letting go doesn't mean it goes. Sometimes it takes a while. It takes a lot of patience and kindness, a lot of washing with something. Just keep on washing. But we're not scrubbing. We're just gently bathing. We're not trying to get rid of things. We're just bathing our mistakes, our hurts, our shortcomings, our difficulties, our problems, our past, our thoughts of ourselves, our judgments about ourselves and others, letting it all be bathed, but not scrubbed. Letting it all come and go as it wants to, not on our agenda, okay? Letting it go now, you know, doesn't always happen that way. Giving space to things, that's part of the compassion of meditation, that we allow some space there to let things just be, to accept everything that comes to us with kindness and relinquishing of judgment as best we can. And then when we find ourselves not relinquishing our judgments, not to judge our judging, but just to say, ah, there I go again. Just, it's all right. You know, come back to stillness as best we can. It can take a really long time. It doesn't just all wash away in a minute. You know, lots of washing, as I said. Sometimes we have a major letting go of something and a huge change in our life. But mostly it's just day by day, seeing those little habits of mind with kindness and relinquishing our grip. Ah, there I am, getting irritated by that person again. Just let it be. No. Just to recognize it is washing. Just that we see it is part of the bathing of something, that we're not just caught up in our dislike or our judgment or our aversion or whatever it might be, or our self-blame, you know. But just to see it. There I go, giving myself a bad time again. How often we kind of swear at ourselves or give ourselves a bad time about something and maybe not even noticing that we're just constantly judging ourselves and think, what am I doing? And if you can see it, then we can just say, ah, I can put that down. I don't have to keep doing this to myself. Just to relinquish the grip on those old habits. But habits, by their very nature, take a long time to eradicate, generally. Just to be patient and kind. I've been working on a statue. Actually, it's an old statue, and I've been refurbishing it. I love to do this. It's quite an old statue of Samantabhadra. And it was sort of dark, and it was mostly gold, but not really very good. Got kind of old and battered. It had been fixed up a few times, rather clumsily sometimes, but, you know, here and there. Had a few flaws. Somebody had, you know, there were hairs from somebody's brush putting on varnish. And I cleaned the statue, and then I started to put on this gold stuff. And as I worked on it, all the flaws come up. All of them. You see, well, maybe not all of them, but a good many, you know. You see the little hairs, you see the bumps in the skin, you see where it's been kind of glued together, you see where it was built slightly crooked, so they put a little shim underneath to prop it up straight, you know. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful statue. And those very flaws are beautiful too. And we're like that. We all have our flaws. We work on our flaws. And yet, they're not to be hated or despised. And we are all part of that Buddha body. And as we wash our... I'm all mixing up all my metaphors here, but too bad. As we wash our Buddha nature, as it were, we wash ourselves, that nature, that Buddha, true nature shines through, that golden body starts to shine through with all the hairs and flaws and fixings up and so forth. But it's all part of the whole, and there is beauty in the whole thing. None of it to be got rid of, none of it to be despised. It's all part of the body of Buddha. Today is a day of joy. And as I said, sometimes we don't feel joyful. Sometimes we feel terrible. Sometimes we may be worried. Sometimes it seems really dark. We have times of brightness, times of darkness. And that's the way it is better, you know. Otherwise you get tired of being happy all the time. The devas, apparently, in the deva realms, they envy human beings because our life is short and we kind of... They say, well, they must be really training hard because life is so short and it's so hard, you know. And then others, David said, well, actually, no, they don't really train at all. They're just goofing off all the time. But the devas get tired of being up in these deva realms for hundreds of years, living on ambrosia and stuff. So being in this human world, you know, maybe you enjoy the nice things when you also get a bit of darkness. You know, it's not all just sweetness and light. We need both. We need the light and the dark. Because that's how we grow. That very mud helps us. And beneath the brightness and darkness, there is the constant underlying refuge. That which sustains all of us. That which is always here, that we keep coming back to. The Dharma, the true refuge, Buddha nature, that underpins everything. So, when the day's over, the flags are gone, and the flowers are gone, and we've eaten the cake, we still have the true refuge. We still have that which gives a real comfort. That which is always present. The rain of the Dharma is always pouring into the lake of kindness. It never stops. Sometimes we see ourselves helping it. Sometimes we feel like we're obstructing it. Sometimes we feel like we're on a desert. But actually, it's always there. Just to be open to it, to allow that compassion to arise, no matter how we may feel, no matter what may happen, what we may have done, what may have happened to us, what may be happening now, to allow that, to recognize that compassion within the very situation we find ourselves in, the very difficulties, they can really help us as we open ourselves and let ourselves be soaked through with that water which is always there. It's the practice of faith that we keep on going on with our training in the lightness and in the darkness, when it seems to be dry, when it seems to be wet, when it seems to be snowing. The water is always there. The Buddha nature is always there. Compassion is always there. If we turn ourselves towards it, turn the heart towards it, in faith that there is something that helps us keep on going, that comforts us in our fears and griefs and worries. Whatever may be in our face right now, or whatever may have happened to us in the past, that refuge will sustain us, will help us, and is deeper than all the conditions of our lives. It's greater than any little one of us. We are just part of that great body. I may just feel like a little bit of little hair, you know, stuck on an arm somewhere, but actually we're all an integral part of that great body of the Buddha. Just to trust it and to open ourselves to it and allow ourselves to be bathed. And that's the true gratitude, that we keep on practicing the Dharma, keep on doing our meditation, keep on keeping to the precepts as best we can. That's the true gratitude, to do the practice, to follow the Dharma, to hear the teaching of the Buddha, and to let it change our lives. And that's our talk for the day.